Informative and entertaining programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Democratic presidential candidates attacked President Bush on Iraq at a candidates' debate in Detroit Sunday night, charging that he misled the country before the war and lacks an exit strategy to end it. Bush drew the opening fire on Iraq with the candidates charging that he has mismanaged the war from the beginning. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry said Bush has broken every promise in his handling of the war. Reverend Al Sharpton said the country is playing Bush roulette with the safety of U.S. troops in Iraq. And retired General Wesley Clark accused the president of bait and switch after the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001. Missouri Senator Richard Gephardt said the president has failed and later summed up his feelings for Bush when he said, like father, like son, 4 years and he's done. The U.S. Occupation Authority temporarily abandoned its headquarters after Iraqi insurgents attacked the hotel with a missile barrage that killed an American colonel and wounded 18 people. The bold attack has rattled U.S. confidence that it is winning the aftermath of the war in Iraq. The assault was likely planned over at least the past 2 months as the insurgents put together the improvised rocket launcher and figured out how to wheel it into the park just across the street from the hotel. U.S. officials and officers fled from the al-Rashid, some still in pajamas or shorts, to a nearby convention center. Members of both parties are accusing the White House of stonewalling the investigation of the September 11, 2001 attacks by blocking demands for documents despite threats of a subpoena. The 10-member bipartisan commission has until May 27th to submit a report that will also deal with law enforcement, diplomacy, immigration, commercial aviation, and the flow of assets to terror organizations. Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut said, "If they continue to refuse, I will urge the independent commission to take the administration to court." More IE American Network News. After this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Australia rewrote the World Cup rugby record books Saturday when they thrashed a hopelessly outclassed Namibia by a score of 142-0. The score easily passed Australia's previous World Cup best, last week's 90-8 demolition of Romania, and their all-time best, a 92-10 win over Spain 10 years ago. Namibia, who lost their opening games 67-14 to Argentina and 64-7 to Ireland, barely made a tackle and never once threatened to score. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone, instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, frugal doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live on terrestrial radio stations all across the United States, beaming down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, and streaming around the world on the Internet from radiopower.org, live365.com, and ieamericaradio.com, where you can go and take the quiz, the poll for the day. All sorts of interesting stuff going on here. Thomas Jefferson offers our quote for the day. We confide in our strength without boasting of it, he said. We respect that of others without fearing it. And that really defines this significant and qualitative difference between the Bush administration and their policies and so many previous administrations. This administration, you know, basically people at all times, this kind of NLP 101, neuro-linguistic programming 101, but this is really solid stuff. Everybody all the time is either doing one of two things. They're either moving toward pleasure or they're moving away from pain. And moving away from pain strategies will produce an immediate and dramatic results. I mean, if you threaten to hit somebody, you will get a response. Or if you hit them, and threaten to hit them again, you'll get an even bigger response. The problem is that moving away from pain strategies over time become less and less effective. People become inured to them. People find a ways of it to avoid them. People become reactive to them and begin to strike back. Whereas moving toward pleasure strategies while they don't have the immediate bang that a moving away from pain strategy does, a moving away from pleasure strategy has this extraordinary power, like gravity, to just persistently, quietly, gently, and incredibly forcibly, irresistibly, pull people in a particular direction. And that's why all the self-help books that you find out there, I mean, going all the way back to Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich back in 1934, all of the self-help books out there suggest that rather than warning yourself about what will go wrong if you don't do what you're doing, you need to visualize what it is you want to have and put up reminders, you know, little notes to yourself on the refrigerator or the mirror, have affirmations and whatever. Developing moving toward pleasure strategies. It's the most effective form of management, catching people doing things right, giving them praise. It's 1,000 times more motivational than catching people doing things wrong and criticizing them. And internally, there's a big lesson for this too, and I'll leave that for the psychology classes. But when it comes to nations, one of the things that both John Kennedy and Ronald Reagan both did so brilliantly was they held up a positive vision of the future. Dwight Eisenhower did as well. Seeing, and so did Jimmy Carter for that matter, seeing a world, well, and Bill Clinton, actually, you know, I have a hard time thinking of any president other than possibly Richard Nixon who didn't hold as their primary vision and communicate to the American people as their main communication a positive view of the future. And that's what's so motivational about them. I mean, that's the key to effective leadership. And we're starting to see now among the Democratic candidates some of them coming out with positive visions for the future, and it's certainly about time. Many of them have been talking about these things from the get-go, but at least now they're starting to get some publicity. You know, I have a plan for this, I see that. But with the Bush administration, what we have is this unrelenting, extraordinary, moving away from pain strategy, this look out they're going to get you, that not only is reflected in the thinking of most of the people in the Bush administration, we got to get them before they get us, but also in the systems that they set up and then inflict on the American people, the terror alerts. Oh, my God, it's a terror alert. What is it? It's yellow. It's orange. It's what? It's never going to go to green, I can tell you that. Now, what kind of vision for the future does that hold up for us? Certainly not one that I would want to be a part of. It's not Ronald Reagan's city on a shining hill. Nothing close to it. And it's frankly, I think it's a tragedy. We are seeing an essential, what some would refer to as a psychopathology, at least at the most charitably, a dysfunctional way of viewing the world and interacting with the world and with others. This is an administration that gets people. If you don't go along with them, if you don't agree with them, they don't just say, okay, fine, well, that's your opinion, and if you really don't want to work with us, that's cool, we'll let you go your own way. No, they get revenge. And this has been a hallmark of George Bush and the way he does business all the way back to when he was governor of Texas, now that you read the biographies of it, and certainly of Karl Rove. This moving away from pain strategy, and it's so effective, it's so very effective over the short term. But when you're the president of the United States, when you're leading a nation, you have to have long-term strategies. You have to hold an ideal for the American people. John Kennedy saying, we will put a man on the moon within this generation. And at the time, they didn't even have a good rocket. Well, they had ones that could deliver missiles, but nothing that could make any, you know, nothing close to the moon. I mean, it was inconceivable. Lyndon Johnson saying, you know, that he was going to begin a war on poverty, to eliminate poverty from America. Martin Luther King talking about his vision, his dream. What is George W. Bush's dream? When you look at his policies, it's absolutely unlimited, unrestrained freedom for corporations and for the very most wealthy in America, and forget about security for the rest. That's not even on the radar screen. This is a fellow who was born a multimillionaire, who had several businesses fail and each time was bailed out by multimillionaire friends of his family, including the Bin Ladens. And is essentially out of touch with America, with the vast majority of America. He travels in very tight circles. He doesn't read. He has admitted he doesn't read newspapers. It's time for us to visit and re-envision the kind of America that we want to have, the kind of nation that we want to live in, where freedom isn't just jingoism, isn't just a phrase that means the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, where we understand that there is a need, a very real need. It's critical. It's essential. It's built into our Constitution. It's at the core of the founders' vision. There's a need for individual liberty, and that individual liberty can only exist in the context of a civil society. That if you have, when you walk out on the street, you have people begging from you because so many, many people are in poverty. If you have people who are committing suicide, people who are becoming violent because there's just no, there are no resources, there's no cash, there's no jobs. If you have people who are, you know, half of all bankruptcies in America right now are caused by people unable to pay their medical bills. Half. And a bankruptcy devastates a family. Is this the kind of America we want to live in? Because this is the health of our society as a whole. And I'm telling you, I have been in countries where the libertarian vision rules, where the government does very little to help out anybody, to equalize the playing field, to restrain huge multinational corporations. And personal freedom is very difficult to achieve. People live behind in gated communities with armed. I remember walking around Bogota, Colombia, and the rich neighborhoods not only have 15-foot high fences with crushed glass on the top and razor wire, but they have armed guards with submachine guns walking the perimeters 24 hours a day. Every home of anybody who has any kind of wealth, and you know what we might call the upper middle class or the lower end of being wealthy, the Colombian equivalent of maybe a few hundred thousand dollars a year, they all have an armed guard at their home. It's a major industry there. But people are free from government interference. This is what the cons don't get. This is what the libertarians miss so completely. Is that personal freedom has to exist in the context of a society. We live in a society. We can't separate ourselves from it. And if the society doesn't have a certain level of security built into it, the ability to have a safe and healthy retirement, the ability to know that your medical bills will be paid if you have a catastrophic illness, the ability to take a job and work hard and actually earn a wage, as Teddy Roosevelt said, that will help you put your children through school, that will take care of you in times of sickness, that will keep your family intact, that will keep you from needing to resort to things like theft in order to meet the needs of your family. That when you have those basic core substrate issues of a society, as we had for much of the middle class in the United States in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, when most good jobs were union jobs, then you have a civil society in which personal freedom is possible. When are they going to get it? Anyhow, this whole rant, I kind of got off on a tangent here, but the whole point of it is that the con vision of America, the conservative vision of America, does not hold, as far as I can tell, any semblance of connection to the idea that society itself has to have a level of what you could call liberty or security in order for individuals to have freedom. And they are moving us farther and farther and farther away from that. And in doing so, they are eroding in an incredibly corrosive way the underpinnings, the foundation of democracy itself. And George Bush and his crew and the Republicans in general, you read Ed Gillespie, the former Enron lobbyist and now head of the GOP, they're not offering any vision for America. for the future, other than let the rich get richer. But the Democrats are really starting to come out with some, and I've got some great clips from last night's debate. I want to get into them and talk with them, talk with you, hear your opinions on it. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. Let's get into this. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending you from the conservative weapons of mass deception. We'll be right back. The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for juicy gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, yeah, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Penny's the hour I've lain by my window and thought of the people who carry the burdens, who marched in the strange fields in search of an answer and ended their journeys
an unwilling hero. So here's a song to those who are gone with never a reason why, and a toast of the wine at the end of the line, and a toll of the bell for the next one to die.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Boy, some interesting news here today. Let me just get into a little bit of the best of the rest of the news, and then I'll play some of these clips from the debate last night. This is incredible. And The Simpsons had created a parody of Fox News, you know, with a little streamer running across the bottom, the news crawl, it's called. And Fox News has threatened to sue them. According to Matt Groening, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, the fellow who invented and produces the Simpsons, or the creator of the Simpsons, the Fox News Network had threatened to sue the Simpsons over a parody of the right-wing channel, but he went ahead and ran it anyway. He really liked figuring that Rupert Murdoch wouldn't allow the Fox Cable News Network to sue the Fox Broadcast Network, which carries The Simpsons. The Simpsons are carried on Fox as well. Oh, what ironies. What ironies. The Fox News, this article, the Fox News Network did back down on its threat, although it was told The Simpsons creators, it has told The Simpsons creators that in the future, cartoon series will not be allowed to include a news crawl along the bottom of the screen, which might, quote, confuse the viewers, end quote. Yes, I think it would be very easy to confuse Fox News with The Simpsons. And in fact, I do it all the time. It's a very difficult distinction to make. And the United Nations now has got some real problems, expressing serious concern over a resurgence of Taliban in Afghanistan. A top United Nations peacekeeping official has said the militia has established de facto control, the militia being the Taliban, has established de facto control over administration in several border districts, and that could affect the electoral process in the war-torn country. In other words, the Taliban has seized control of so much of Afghanistan now that they may be able to swing the elections. Can you imagine? Because of the deteriorating security situation, the all UN missions have been suspended in Nimroz, Helmand, Uruzgan, and Zabul provinces, which in turn has greatly restricted reconstruction processes and the world body's ability to monitor the political processes in the south. Looks like just about the only part of the nation that has any relative stability is the capital city of Kabul. And this in the Hindu News Service from India, the largest newspaper in India. And interesting stuff. Well, we have with the Democrats last night, did they start off with a chaotic mess? Interesting. Let's find out. This first exchanges and rebuttals between Clark, Kerry, Edwards, and Lieberman. And one of the panelists starts to ask John Edwards a question. And it's a bit of an interesting. Actually, I'm not sure that I've got enough time for that clip. So we'll come to that after the break. But let me do this one here. Wesley Clark and McCarthyism.
It's a we used to call charges like that McCarthyism when they came out in the 1950s.
See, what had happened basically was one of the guys in the Fox News was airing this, and one of the guys asking the question asked him this incredibly loaded question, and his former colleague said that he was fired as NATO commander. Of course, there's no record of that, so it was like passing along negative innuendo, and the negative innuendo seemed to imply something pretty nasty. So he says, you know, we used to call that McCarthyism. I thought that was a great comeback. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Restoring natural areas requires a combination of sound science and honest labor. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Naturalists have become more actively involved in the landscapes they study. Restoration ecology has changed the way some scientists go about their business. They aren't just observers, they actively participate in restoring the original conditions of natural areas. William Jordan III coined the term restoration ecology years ago, and he's written a new book about it called The Sunflower Forest.
This business of attempting to restore altered ecosystems, such as prairies here in the Midwest or wetlands, has turned out to be a very powerful way of studying them, of raising questions about their ecology and testing ideas about their ecology.
Jordan says restorationists play a number of roles. They're hunter-gatherers collecting native plants and animals to reintroduce to an area. They're farmers working to influence the plants that grow on a piece of land. And they're scientists recording their methods and results. Jordan says restoration has proven to be a valuable tool for education and research. He says ecologists have learned things they might not have found through simple observation. For example, they came to understand the importance of fire while attempting to restore prairies. Jordan says restoration often requires actions that he calls a studied disregard for human interests.
You put back the rattlesnakes, the poison ivy, fire is a great example. You put back these things which you may find inconvenient or even destructive. And this is all part of a kind of tribute to nature.
Jordan says the goal of restoration is to return the landscape to its historical condition, which in North America usually means what it was like prior to European settlement. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God and Senator Dodd and I keep an old Castro down. And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red. But when I got to my old draft board, buddy, this is what I said. Sarge, I'm only 18. I got a ruptured spleen and I always carry a purse. I've got eyes like a bat and my feet are flat. My asthma's getting worse.
The official theme song of the Chicken Hawks, folks like Dick Cheney, who said that he had more important things to do than to get into the military. Rush Limbaugh, who had a pimple problem. George W., who, you know, if you're gone 30 days, it's called absent without leave. If you're gone more than 30 days, it's called desertion. And it's going to be interesting to see if that becomes an issue in this upcoming election. Anyhow, here we have, let's just get into this a little bit, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Here, first of all, at times, the debate seemed like an absolute chaotic mess. Here's a few exchanges and rebuttals between Clark, Kerry, Edwards, and Lieberman. And one of the panelists starts to ask John Edwards a question, and somebody else pipes up and says they haven't been asked any questions yet. And it ends up with Carol Moseley Braun saying, I hope nobody's mad at us. Here's the thought.
Senator Edwards, today comes as the two-year anniversary of the Patriot Act falls upon us.
Excuse me a minute. You missed some of us in this round.
And we're going to get to you as soon as everybody finishes rebutting. But right now, it's the Carl.
Believe it or not, much of this has been in rebuttal action and not actual formulated questions. And that's where we're in. You're coming up next.
Well, that's just because nobody's mad at us.
Yeah. Well, let's hope not. In addition, John Edwards was asked the question, how could you be against the Patriot Act if you helped write it? Now, that was a little bit of news to me. I thought that this thing kind of came out from the administration, you know, fully birthed and probably pre-written. But anyhow, this is how he tried to handle that question.
Yes, the Attorney General of the United States came before us and told us that he would not abuse his discretion. He has abused his discretion. He has consistently abused his discretion. We all know that now. These provisions need to be changed.
Yeah, his saying that, well, you know, we thought he'd be a good guy. I mean, it's an argument that nobody's buying, basically, is the bottom line. And then Carol Moseley Braun. I tell you, I have come to the belief, I'll just say this straight up. I know that there is so much latent racism in America, and there is so much sexism in America. You know, I mean, that it's acceptable for right-wing talk show hosts to talk about feminazis and things, to make fun of women. There is so much racism and sexism that the probability of a black woman ever getting elected president of the United States, at least at this point in time, is extremely low. But I am personally convinced that of the whole bunch of them, Carol Moseley Braun would make the best president of the United States. And I have seriously been watching her and listening to her, and I am so impressed by this woman. Anyhow, here's a comment that she made last night.
And by the way, those who are injured, like Shoshana Johnson, who are not getting the kind of support they need when they come back home. It's just wrong the way the Defense Department is handling this and this administration is handling our troops. They're not supporting the troops. They're just supporting their friends with big contracts to rebuild Iraq and to make more money.
Yeah, absolutely. And what she points out about Shoshana Johnson is the black woman who was a member of the group that, what's her name? Jessica Lynch was in. And she ended up on TV, you know, being, I believe she was a member of that group. Yeah, perhaps it was a different group, but I'm pretty sure she was. Anyway, she was captured, and she ended up on TV as a hostage and, you know, looking absolutely terrified with guns pointed at her and a microphone stuck in her face. And now what's happened is, the Army has essentially discharged her. They've said, okay, she's injured, she's out. But they have not discharged Lynch, Private Lynch. And so Lynch is, as a consequence, I believe, of this. I'm not fully versed in the technicalities of how disability pay happens in the military. But my understanding is that because Shoshana Johnson has been released from the military, she's getting something like $600 a month in disability pay, whereas Jessica Lynch is getting a third more, or perhaps more than that, $900 to $1,000 a month, because Lynch is still part of the Army. Now, the question that comes to mind is, why is Lynch still part of the Army when pretty much everybody else who's been injured as badly as she has been discharged? And the only reason that I can come up with, and again, maybe I'm missing something. I'm not on the inside with the military culture here. And those of you who are veterans and have served long and distinguished careers with the military and have some knowledge of how all this stuff works, feel free to set me straight. I would appreciate it. But my sense of it is that by keeping Jessica Lynch on active duty, or keeping her in the military, even though she's temporarily disabled, she's in that position, as so many of the soldiers found themselves in who spoke out against the war in that interview with ABC News a few months ago, where if she says something wrong to the news or to a reporter, she can get nailed. She is not subject to our normal laws. If she's in the military, she's subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is a, you know, doesn't recognize the First Amendment. You're in the Army. You don't have the right to say anything you want. And appropriately so, by the way. I mean, in times of combat, you want to have discipline in the ranks. If you're going up against somebody who's out to kill you, you don't want people just, you know, shouting out their opinions. And there does have to be something close to the system that they have. But to keep somebody in the military and subject to the UCMJ rather than subject to the United States Constitution or the Bill of Rights strikes me as odd. And, you know, no conspiracy theories here, just, interesting. I'd like to hear somebody explain why. Why is that? Al Sharpton, my impression of Al Sharpton before I started seeing him in these debates was my recollection of the whole Tawana Brawley thing that he got sucked into, in my opinion, and suckered into. And that he was just, you know, kind of a buffoon, but, you know, he keeps getting elected in his district, and the people in New York love him, and so there must be something to him. And watching him in these debates, I've gotten it. There's a lot to this guy. This guy is nobody's fool. He's very smart. In fact, he got the biggest applause line of the whole evening with this comment.
Boykin's statement is wrong. This is not about one religion against another. It's about right versus wrong. I said it earlier when we were talking about right to choose. One of the reasons I'm glad to be in this race is we're going to have the battle between the Christian right and the right Christians.
And the crowd went nuts between the Christian right and the right Christians. And this is developing into one of the major tools that the Republicans are using or will use in 2004, and that is that whoever the Democrat is who gets to be the candidate, and my guess is it's probably going to be either Gebhardt, Kerry, or Dean, and in fact, more and more it's looking to me like it may be Gebhardt, even though I know conventional wisdom is Dean. And frankly, although I would prefer Dean to Gephardt and Kerry, I'll vote for any of them. But the point is that whoever it is, the Republicans are going to go out of their way to portray that person as I started to say a godless communist. It's not going to be quite that bad, but it's. There, you know, well, the Wall Street Journal had a whole op-ed piece about this last week, that the Democrats are the party of the atheists, the agnostics, and the unchurched. And all the right people, all the religious people, all the people who are going to go to heaven, they're all Republicans. And when you think of it in the context of another culture, I mean, take it out of America for a minute, because we're so deeply into this, sometimes it's hard to see the forest for the trees, as they say. But drop it in the middle of another culture. The party of the religious was the Taliban, you know, in Afghanistan. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. 1-800-829-9. Oh, I don't have it in front of me. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES. Chuck in West Virginia has a call, and Chuck, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Oh, Jim. That's Jim. Hello. In Louisiana. Oh, okay. Chuck in West Virginia called in and said that Jessica was discharged. Jim in Louisiana has some thoughts on that. Hey, Jim. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Mega ditto, Tom.
Thank you.
I heard, by keeping her in the military, she won't be able to speak out. She'll be court-martialed. But Michael Malloy was talking the other night that there was six soldiers rescued her, and three of those soldiers have been mysteriously killed in the last couple of months. And you know, it's only Democrats that die in airplane crashes. And I'll hang up and let you comment. Thanks.
Yeah, and it's only Democrats who receive anthrax in the mail, too. I don't know if you'd noticed that. I don't have the details that Mike was referring to. I know that there's a lot of stuff floating out there, and I'll look into it. I'll look into it. If that's the case, you would expect that it would get a little more play. So it may well be one of those kind of Art Bell things, but who knows? I mean, you know, with these guys, nothing would amaze me. Nothing would surprise me. Speaking of General Boykin, here, Chuck in West Virginia called and said that Jessica was discharged. That contradicts a news story that I've got around here someplace that I was just reading this morning. Now, maybe it was out of date or maybe they had their facts wrong. I'll have to check into that, too. We do like to give accurate information here on this program. John Kerry and the Almighty. Al Sharpton's response about General Boykin said that the battle was between the Christian right and the right Christians. And then still regarding Boykin, John Kerry had the following to say about the problem, the confusion among Republicans when they start talking about the Almighty.
General Boykin has confused the heck out of the White House on those talk about the Almighty, because when he talks about the Almighty, the president thinks he's talking about Cheney. Cheney thinks he's talking about Halliburton. Cheney thinks he's talking about Halliburton. And John Ashcroft thinks they're talking about him. So they don't know where to go.
Yeah, good one. And then again, Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton is so on point with this stuff. It's just remarkable. Here's Al Sharpton on tax. They asked him about, well, you know, if you repeal the tax cuts, aren't you going to be, you know, is it going to be tax burden for people? And burden is just the, you know, it's the magic word of the cons for taxes.
First of all, I think that the average working family is already sharing their responsibility.
Yeah, between sales tax and payroll tax and everything else.
When you look at an economy and when you look at an administration that has led toward deregulation, where we not only have the top level income bracket people paying less percentage-wise of tax, you have businesses that can form offshore companies paying no tax at all. To lecture working class, average middle class Americans on how they can do more when you have the Enrons of the world operating offshore doing nothing, I think is an insult to the intelligence of the American people.
Amen.
Our responsibility. In fact, it is on our backs that you are being able to do what you have been able to do. We've been the ones that have borne the brunt of the American economy. We just have not shared from the prosperity. It is an insult to keep telling Americans to send our children to war. It's an honor to risk their lives to die for the country, but it's a burden for the rich to pay their taxes to the country.
Yeah. Go for it, Al. That, you know, Al Sharpton, again, there are some really, truly truth speakers here. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and Terry in California has some thoughts on the candidates. Terry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. You know, I share your opinion about Al. I've completely reversed my opinion of him, too. But the thing that I'm concerned about, I'm confused, or I have a question about, and I don't understand, is why is everybody just automatically discounting and tossing out as not even possible or viable Dennis Kucinich? Why is he not, why is he being so just automatically kind of just an also-ran?
You know, that really confuses me, too. I know that the people who hear him speak in public are just galvanized by him. Apparently, he's a brilliant public speaker.
I'll tell you something. I don't cry easily, but I watched I went online to his site, to the news section of his site, and watched his formal announcement, and it brought me to tears.
Yeah.
And I mean, to see him speak, and I've seen him in person twice, and he's really good, and he's got a platform, and his campaign contributions are the only ones that have not faltered. His contributions continually are rising.
Oh, and he's been solid and he's been consistent, and you know he really comes. But the problem is, I remember seeing him on the Daily Show with John what's his name?
Stewart.
And yeah, John Stewart. And he almost came across like, you know, what am I doing here? This is beneath me. You know, he answered every question with one sentence. He just doesn't seem to do well with the media, and I have a feeling that most Americans only know him through the media. Very few have actually gone to see him or taken the trouble like you did to visit his website. And he's for some reason, and I really don't think it's a conspiracy. I think that there's, you know, I just don't know what it is. He doesn't seem to be connecting. I mean, the polls are showing this, and it's a very unfortunate thing, in my opinion.
I'll tell you, though, you look at his platform. It is well-defined. It is powerful. I can't find a flaw in it. He, as far as I can tell, he's the best-looking politician I've seen since.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. If you look at what he's saying and how he says it, it's very, very strong. It's unfortunate he hasn't gotten more traction. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
Henry David Thoreau said that there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. ReclaimDemocracy.org is striking at the deepest root of today's problems, runaway corporate power. We focus on proactive structural change to restore citizen authority over corporations and return them to their legitimate role, doing business and nothing more. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
The
Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Truth Zone with Tom Hartman. Here we are on the IE America Radio Network, and Phil in Florida has some thoughts on the Democratic candidates.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Phil.
I think it was yesterday, the new Chris Matthews show, he has a Sunday show, had four talking heads, including his talking head. And the question was, is there anybody who can beat, is there anybody out there that could possibly beat Bush? You know, the question itself, and you're looking at the candidates and you're looking at Mr. Bush's performance, how can anybody say that this guy has done a good job? How can anybody say he's unbeatable? What planet are they living on?
I think you're forgetting the fact that he's going to have a $250 million war chest. He's going to have $250 million.
Well, then he better give a lot of people jobs with that money, because I can't imagine the people who are unemployed, the people who are underemployed, the people who are in fear of their jobs getting, you know, being taken away from them in the next 6 months.
But see, he's got this huge right-wing talk machine saying, oh, that's all Bill Clinton's fault. The economy was going in the tank in 2000.
You know, well, if they want the theme of his reelection to be nothing is my fault, go blame Bill Clinton, I don't think people are that stupid, are they?
It already is. I mean, you listen to the right-wing talk shows, and that literally is what they are saying day after day after day after day, and what they've been saying for 2 years. And between that and $250 million, I wouldn't underestimate. And I guarantee you there's going to be an October surprise. And whether the October surprise is going to be that we invade Syria or North Korea or something like that, some new war, or somebody attacks us, or in a way that probably if they were paying attention they could have stopped, and maybe they were paying attention, number one. Or the other October surprise that comes to mind is replacing Dick Cheney with Rudy Giuliani. And that'll shift the focus away from everything Bush has done to, you know, Giuliani, the great savior, and then they're going to have the convention in his city, New York City, and it's going to tie it back into 9/11, and you're just going to see patriotism erupt.
Yeah,
it's just going to, you know, it's just, so I would not, you know, as bad as things are, I wouldn't count Bush out. Phil, thanks for the call.
Right.
I appreciate it very much. Raymond in Michigan and John Beach, hang on the line. We'll pick up your calls on the other side of the news. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Bob
Hello, Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The U.S. Occupation Authority temporarily abandoned its headquarters after Iraqi insurgents attacked the hotel with a missile barrage that killed an American colonel and wounded 18 people. The bold attack has rattled U.S. confidence that it is winning the aftermath of the war in Iraq. The assault was likely planned over at least the past 2 months as the insurgents put together the improvised rocket launcher and figured out how to wheel it into the park just across the street from the hotel. U.S. officials and officers fled from the al-Rashid, some still in pajamas or shorts, to a nearby convention center. Members of both parties are accusing the White House of stonewalling the investigation of the September 11, 2001 attacks by blocking demands for documents despite threats of a subpoena. The 10-member bipartisan commission has until May 27th to submit a report that will also deal with law enforcement, diplomacy, immigration, commercial aviation, and the flow of assets to terror organizations. Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut said, "If they continue to refuse, I will urge the independent commission to take the administration to court." And he vowed that he and Arizona Senator John McCain would go to the floor of the Senate and extend the life of the commission if the documents are not surrendered by the commission's deadline. Wildfires that have burned for days stretched across miles in parts of Southern California on Sunday, leaving 13 people dead and destroying 650 homes. The state's largest fire in San Diego County caused at least 9 deaths, including 2 who died inside their car as they apparently tried to escape the flames. By Sunday night, the fires had blackened 264,000 acres. Fire also forced the evacuation of a Federal Aviation Administration control center in San Diego, disrupting air travel across the nation. Some airlines canceled flights into the region. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Police arrested a man for stealing shoes from a southern Japanese hospital, then found a collection in his home of 440 women's shoes, all for the left foot. Ichiro Irie, 45, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of having stolen 2 leather shoes the previous day. In Irie's home, police found a box in a closet overflowing with 440 women's shoes, including high heels, patent leather pumps, sandals, and nurse's shoes. Police had no explanation for the man's preference for the left foot. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
I've had it with this cold.
So, try DayQuil. It'll help take care of your cold symptoms so you can get your energy back.
You think?
Oh, honey, you'll feel so good you can spend the day puttering in the garage.
The garage.
Clearing out lots of room for my car.
DayQuil.
The non-drowsy, stuffy head, sore throat, coughing, aching, fever help get back your energy. Medicine. Use as directed. And now it lasts 50% longer.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone? Instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing. Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, fruitle doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, telling the truth about what's going on in America. We have Raymond in Michigan and John in Long Beach on the line. Raymond, just before I get to you, I just want to play this one very, very short clip. This is, I know you've been waiting, but this is just, maybe it'll give you something to comment about. John Kerry was asked last night if he's part of the Northeastern liberal establishment. If everybody thinks of him as just kind of this dry, boring guy, what's he going to do about that? And he said,
well, wait till you see my video, Kerry Gone Wild.
Yeah. All right. I saw him on the Chris Matthews show, and my sense of him was rather that he basically had one way of speaking, and that was it. And it was sort of this lecture. Anyhow, Raymond in Michigan, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, Tom, you know, talk about Kerry Gone Wild. I talked to some people who were down at the Afterglow after the debates, and they reported to me that Clark really went over well down there. He got the whole crowd really focused, and he got up on a bar stool and was speaking, and everybody was intent, and he made sure he really got around to everybody.
This was after the debates?
Yeah, this was at the Afterglow at one of the bars downtown, one of the that where they had the Afterglow for the people who were watching the debate.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the other question that I wanted to, pardon me, Raymond, but just let me just get this out. If anybody was at the anti-war protest, I would love to hear a report from that. I know one of our regulars in the chat room was there, but he hasn't shown up today, so I'm assuming he's still traveling home, or he's in jail. Who knows? And so if anybody was there, please give us a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. Anyway, back to you, Raymond.
Yeah, I really wanted to comment earlier to support what you were saying. Basically, I think that that this administration is really focused on inoculating itself. In other words, getting everything out, getting all the arguments, getting everything settled so that they've got a year for people to forget. I think Rumsfeld's thing that came out was an attempt to demonstrate that these guys are rational, futurist thinkers as opposed to just dogmatic action people.
And yeah, there's a pretty broad consensus in Washington that Rumsfeld himself or somebody close to him leaked that, that was not an accident that thing made the front page of USA Today.
And I think it's more important, like you said, to focus on vision. And what I was hoping for was more vision coming out. And I know, like, Clark had all these things that he's put out in terms of his economic plan, and Gwen Ifill was trying to throw him an opportunity to get that stuff out, and I think that's the kind of thing that we need more of coming out. I don't know what their plans are. I think it seems to be that everybody was playing the Democratic committee game of let's get Bush in the first half, and then they were more willing to open up in the second half. So.
Well, I think, Raymond, I think the biggest mistake that the Democrats are making is they are assuming that what people care about is policies and positions on the issues. And people do care about those things, of course, and they're important. But what motivates the American electorate more than anything else, just as in a business, the leader of the business, just as in a family member, is what, you know, that old-fashioned word leadership, which really translates into having a positive vision that and so inspires other people that they are willing to do just about anything to pursue it, to follow it, that they will fall into line and they'll say, yes, this is what we need. I want to go for that. And I'm still waiting to hear that kind of a powerful statement of vision, the FDR, the JFK, the LBJ statement, the Ronald Reagan statement of vision from any of these candidates. Some of them are dancing around close to it, but you know, it's I think that you know, it's fine to criticize President Bush, but that's only half the job.
Well, you know, in this kind of a format, it's a little tough to really get a good vision statement out in a minute. You have to start finding nuggets and put it out there that you can build on in other forums, or we got to get this thing down to smaller groups so that people really have an opportunity to really put a good vision out there.
Well, there have been sound bites that have worked. Reagan had his, you know, the shining city on a hill, and there was the renewal of America. I think that was Jimmy Carter's. I'm not sure. You know, Bill Clinton, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow was his theme song. I mean, even the theme song was about a vision for the future, a vision for America. And if any of the candidates or any of their people are listening to this program, here's a little bit of unsolicited and free advice. It may well be worth exactly what it costs, but I think not. I think it's worth more than that, and that is define a vision. I mean, this George Bush Sr. said he didn't have that vision thing, and it killed him. It killed him. It's why he lost to Clinton. He just, you know, people got it. He was just reacting to circumstances and having positions, and that's fine. I mean, you want that in a senator. You want that perhaps even in a governor. But having a vision is the key to being an effective leader and the president of the United States.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and that's why I was hoping that Clark would get more of what I've seen from him in some of these other forums and what he's written so far and he's bringing out. And I think the other candidates, likewise, they all seem to be in the protective mode. Don't say too much that you can go wrong on. They really need to say something that they are for.
And in those same lines, Raymond, I think that it would be very, very useful for the Democratic candidates to start defining Bush's vision, because Bush is not defining his vision particularly well. And his vision is one that is essentially toxic. I mean, it's a marvelous vision for anybody who has a net worth over $5 million. But for the rest of America, it's a vision that looks sort of like Dickens' England, you know, back in the Victorian era, where you've got, you know, workhouses and just, you know, rampant poverty and people dying in the streets and beggars and of course lots and lots and lots of cheap labor for the people who run the corporations.
You know, and I think you're right on in that, because if they start talking about vision in contrast to the dark side that is being presented and implemented now, I think then it can relate to what does this mean to you as an individual,
right.
People, that we need jobs, that this government here is to be something that's for the people, and to, you know, all the things that you talk about and do a great job of getting out, we need to get that out, and the candidates need to, I think, go from the dark side and contrast with their vision and get it out to people in terms of what it means to them.
I agree. Well said, Raymond. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate that. And in fact, my vision for America is very clear. I mean, I've traveled around the world enough, and I've spent time in some of the real hellholes in the world, and I've lived and worked in some of them, and I've spent time in countries that have what seems to me a higher standard of living or a higher quality of life than most people in the middle class in the United States have. And I think most people in the United States don't realize what it's like to live in Sweden or Germany or France or Norway. Franklin Roosevelt had this vision of the future of America, where if you take care of people's basic needs, and this isn't, see the contrast, the dark side of this is what Benjamin Franklin pointed out back in the 1770s, before the Revolutionary War, where he had visited England, and he said, they are giving people so much money that they can live on the dole well enough that they have no incentive to work. And that is a problem with welfare as LBJ envisioned it. That is a very real problem. Yet on the other hand, we must make sure that those people who truly fall on hard times, that their level of insecurity is not so great that they turn to crime or suicide or spousal abuse or the other various forms of insanity that so regularly seem to be infecting people among the working poor of America. We need to bring the working poor up into the middle class, and the only way to do that is to strengthen the labor unions and raise the minimum wage and defend our jobs here in the United States by putting appropriate tariffs in place that defend labor. And this is not a new idea. Tench Cox was talking about this in 1784 when the United States passed the first tariff just to do exactly that. John in Long Beach is on the line. John, you have some thoughts on this. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Tom.
John.
I want to ask how you are, because I know you will get better.
Thank you. Actually, tomorrow, you know, I'm going to be broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. at the Center for American Progress conference, and that's going to be a hoot. I'm looking forward to that, so it'll be interesting to see these guys.
I hope we have time. Not hoping you hold me over. I have a question, and I also have a comment.
Okay.
The question is, are the 9 Democratic contenders, not individually, but as a group, are they deliberately trying to be ensure that Bush will be elected?
I would say no.
They act like it sometimes, but because they don't. I mean, this squabbling that you were talking about doesn't help things.
Well, they're fighting against each other for the opportunity to run for president of the United States. I mean, that's a normal thing. I haven't seen anything come out so far that I think is so bad that
I would
criticize.
A lot of people look at that and they say, you know, the comment is this. I don't want to hear Edwards, Lieberman, and Kerry, anyone who gives the excuses they give for giving Bush the War Powers Act. There was no excuse.
Yeah.
They come up with, I mean, Kerry takes 10 to 20 minutes, depends on where he is, to explain why he did it. Anybody that knew anything about the Bushes, the Bush family, the people around the Bushes should have known what these people were all about.
Yeah.
I'm not all that well educated. I'm not all that smart. But I knew that if Bush got in, in office, that Cheney would be the most powerful vice president this country ever had. I mean, it was obvious to anybody that just watched a little bit of the news. And I don't know why anybody who was aware of any of this, why would you? It's like when you collaborate with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe I'm being too harsh, but that's the way that I look at it. I think it's just no excuse for what they did.
Specifically?
And voting to give Bush the war.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right. I mean, well, you know, frankly, I think some of them are saying, hey, I was lied to. And that may well be true.
Well, maybe. Well, okay, they were lied to. But they should have known that they were going to be lied to.
Well, okay. I don't agree with you that all these guys should be prescient. I think that they actually believed that this administration wouldn't be that stupid. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right. It's entirely possible. John, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution, asks,
what's complete freedom? For me, it's an open road with the top down. It's my bare arms getting warmed by the sun. It's my bare arms without a trace of psoriasis.
Complete freedom, brought to you by the complete relief of Dermarest psoriasis. Unlike brands which only relieve itching and inflammation, Dermarest psoriasis also removes the embarrassing scales, allowing healthy skin to grow.
Healthy skin? That's complete freedom.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution.
Nothing complements a ball game like a bag of roasted peanuts. I like to eat them 3-4 at a time, and I'm talking the jumbo ones, lightly salted and fresh from the shell.
Ah, peanuts, baseball, and the crack of my tooth!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say, ah. Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone, instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, frugal doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Will you come down from your ivory tower? You will see how it really must be. When you come down, down, down from your ivory tower, you will see how it really must be.
Oh, Van Morrison, what a musical genius. Welcome back. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Here we are talking with Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yeah, so what was that? Fox News Channel was going to sue Matt Groening of The Simpsons because The Simpsons are intentionally funny and the Fox News Channel is always unintentionally funny. Is that what that was all about? Or
I don't know. I thought it was ironic that, you know, The Simpsons are carried by Fox, so it's Murdoch suing Murdoch. You know, apparently there was the threat. There has been no lawsuit. So
mm-hmm.
who knows?
Strange yeah, but, you know, yeah, I want to talk about further detail. You know, that news crawl that they got at the bottom of the screen of all these 24-hour cable channel networks, I think that's a perfect example how infantile our news has become. I mean, it's like, you know, we need to provide you with this candy because this thing that we advertise as being news on our channels, it's not news. They're really telling you that it's entertainment and it's trivial and it's not really worth paying attention to. If it was worth paying attention to, then why would they have something stupid like this, that news crawl at the bottom of the screen like that?
You think that's it, Joe? I think it's more of the ADDification of America, that our culture has become more and more rapid fire, in large part as a result of the pervasive influence of television over the last 30 years. And people are just bored by watching ahead and listening to words. They have to have more happening on the screen, and
well,
these
yeah,
guys figured that out.
Yeah, well, the ADD, that would be part of it. But the reason I think a lot of people, I mean, some of them even intelligent, would have an ADD watching these 24-hour news channels, is that they don't cover the news. They don't cover the news. It's all this you know, sensational bullcrap about Kobe Bryant. You know, let's go over that in such minute detail, even though we don't have any new details, even what's going on with these sensational stories. That's what they give us. So it's just I don't know what, eye candy? It irritates the hell out of me, really.
Yeah, well, that's the American... The American obsession with celebrity, and truth be told, it's not just us. I mean, you go over to the UK and you read the tabloids there talking about principally the royal family and movie stars, but the royal family are their favorites to obsess on. And it's every bit as celebrity-driven as American media is. There must be something about human beings in general, because they wouldn't be doing this if it didn't sell, if it didn't draw viewers. There must be something about people that we want to vicariously insert ourselves into or voyeuristically observe the lives of people whose lives are sufficiently different from us or what we believe to be better than us or happier than us or richer than us or whatever, even though most of them are pretty miserable people, that becomes the focus of so much news, this whole celebrity thing.
Yeah, and you might remember when the Phil Donahue show was still on MSNBC, he didn't have that irritating news crawl at the bottom of the screen. Kind of like it seemed like to me to let the viewers know that, hey, we're going to try and do a serious show here and talk about serious topics and all that. Obviously, MSNBC, they didn't want nothing to do with that. They didn't want nothing to do with having a progressive guy on the air in the first place anyway. And so that's why they screwed that up like they did.
Yeah, even though he had the highest ratings of anybody, including Chris Matthews on MSNBC. And you don't see the news crawl on PBS, and you don't see it on the major networks' news in the evening either. So, you know, yeah, I just think it's the whole ADD thing, frankly, that has infected our entire culture. Joe, thanks for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Networks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Restoring natural areas requires a combination of sound science and honest labor. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Naturalists have become more actively involved in the landscapes they study. Restoration ecology has changed the way some scientists go about their business. They aren't just observers, they actively participate in restoring the original conditions of natural areas. William Jordan III coined the term restoration ecology years ago, and he's written a new book about it called The Sunflower Forest.
This business of attempting to restore altered ecosystems, such as prairies here in the Midwest or wetlands, has turned out to be a very powerful way of studying them, of raising questions about their ecology and testing ideas about their ecology.
Jordan says restorationists play a number of roles. They're hunter-gatherers collecting native plants and animals to reintroduce to an area. They're farmers working to influence the plants that grow on a piece of land. And they're scientists recording their methods and results. Jordan says restoration has proven to be a valuable tool for education and research. He says ecologists have learned things they might not have found through simple observation. For example, they came to understand the importance of fire while attempting to restore prairies. Jordan says restoration often requires actions that he calls a studied disregard for human interests.
You put back the rattlesnakes, the poison ivy, fire is the great example. You put back these things which you may find inconvenient or even destructive. And this is all part of a kind of tribute to nature.
Jordan says the goal of restoration is to return the landscape to its historical condition, which in North America usually means what it was like prior to European settlement. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Steve, can the bumper music. Joe Lieberman makes at least one move in each debate that doesn't play all that well with the audience. It's really remarkable. He always manages to somehow shoot himself in the foot or antagonize the Democratic base. And he did it again yesterday, where he's answering this question about people accusing him of being Bush light. And he tries to convert that into an attack on Clark. And he actually got booed. Here's Joe Lieberman last night.
Well, first off, let me say that nobody's used the reference Bush light to me since Wes Clark became a Democrat and got into this presidential race. So I welcome you in that regard. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I'm a proud Democrat. You have a hard time finding two Americans who are angry about George Bush's presidency than Al Gore and me.
Yeah, there you go, Joe Lieberman. And John Kerry, in his closing remarks, now this has to be the beginning of some sort of a change in the policy of his, in the plan. Policy is the wrong strategy, that's the word. In the strategy of the John Kerry campaign, Howard Dean is doing so well, and Howard Dean has always had the position that the federal gun control laws that we have, that is, that outlaw assault weapons, that require certain levels of registration, the Brady Bill, things like this, are fine, and that more restrictive gun laws should be left up to the states. And the reason why, of course, is here in Vermont, any day now, it usually happens, I think it's the second week of November, but I could be wrong. I'm not a hunter, but I own some land out here, and we used to live way out in the woods here in Vermont, and a half-mile-long driveway to get up to our house. I mean, we were back in the boondocks. And every year there was that, 2-3 week period there when we would have to post our property, and the hunters would come through, and they'd rip down the signs, and we'd find them walking across our land or through our backyard, or we'd hear gunshots. And there's, my recollection is that last year there were 87,000 hunting licenses sold to out-of-staters here in Vermont. So this is a significant industry for the state. All these people coming up here from all, as far away as Florida and California to hunt deer and moose and bear and all the other things that are legal to hunt. And so, Howard Dean, being governor and wanting to survive as governor, had always taken the position as governor that, this is Vermont. We don't have much gun crime. And which is true. We really don't. More people are killed by accident by hunters, I think, than are killed by people who are trying to kill people. And when we do have a murder that involves a gun, it is, for weeks it's in the newspaper. This is such a rare event. Incredibly rare. We have had more citizens of the state of Vermont die in Iraq than we had this year than we have had die in Vermont as a result of violence that involves guns. So Dean has always said, gun control should be left up to the states. At the federal, because different states have different concerns. I mean, there's, the District of Columbia should probably have very strong gun control, and Maryland and Virginia around them probably should. New York has strong gun control. He doesn't have any problem with that, he says, but he says, leave this up to the state and up to the states. This is really more of a states' rights issue, as it were. And so Kerry, it seems, is trying to redefine himself on the issue of gun control. I'm not sure that this is such a good idea politically. I mean, the NASCAR dads that everybody's talking about now as being the big new constituency. Oh, everybody wants to get the NASCAR dad, is the soccer moms last time around, right? And they're still interested in the soccer moms. And the soccer moms, in fact, many of them are turning against George W. because they don't like the fact that their kids may grow up to be cannon fodder. And George W. just, seems to be very fond of cannons and fodder. But now it's the NASCAR dads. And the NASCAR dads are the same folks who are those folks who are buying those licenses to come up here in Vermont and run around and shoot Bambi. So, but anyhow, John Kerry seems like he's going to, in his closing, here's his closing argument. Here's his opportunity. Their closing statements, his opportunity to define, here is my vision for America. This is what we should have as a nation. This is how it should be. And what does he say? He gets into gun control. very dangerous territory.
All across this country, we have too many people who die each year from guns.
Sure.
So let me make it plain. I'm for the assault weapons ban. I'm for the Brady Bill. I'm for making sure we stand up for gun safety in this country. We cannot be a party that retreats in an effort to try to court votes and not save lives.
Now, I'm assuming that that was intended to be a bit of a swipe at Dean, although Dean supports all those things, too. It may have been a swipe at the Republicans. Somehow I doubt it. He didn't get into the, you know, what's the next step? Where do you go beyond that? You know, what's greater than that? What's the biggest issue? What's the bigger issue than that? The Daily Mislead from misleader.com. I don't know if you know about this. It's a great website, misleader.com. And every day they publish the Daily Mislead, a daily chronicle of Bush administration distortion. And this one is great. I don't generally read things on the air, but I want to share part of this with you. Frustrated by Bush officials withholding key documents requested by the bipartisan commission investigating the September 11th attack. See, they finally got their commission together. This is the commission that Kissinger resigned from, and they've been stonewalling these people, and it's just these guys are having such a difficult time. Anyhow, 9/11 Commission Chairman Thomas Keene. Now, you know, they picked a guy to run this thing who's the former governor of New Jersey and a Republican. And so here now, the Republican former governor of New Jersey, Thomas Keene, is challenging President Bush's vow to, quote, and here's what Bush said back when on December 16th, 02, when he announced the commission. Bush said, we will, quote, uncover every detail and learn every lesson of September 11th, end quote. And Keene said yesterday, any document, this is what now the head of the commission said, any document that has to do with this investigation cannot be beyond our reach. Now, they have appropriately vetted the people for this commission. They all have the appropriate security clearances. They can all keep a secret. They all can legally have access to top secret materials. There are draconian punishments for people who leak them, although that hasn't seemed to have had much effect at all on George W. Bush's White House. Let me just pause in midstream here. I'm going to come back to this and just remind you that today is day 775 of the search for weapons of mass destruction, day 260 of the search, I'm sorry, day 775 of the search for Osama bin Laden, day 260 of the search for weapons of mass destruction in Saddam Hussein, and day 105 days that the Bush administration has not been able to find who in their administration. Now, how many senior officials are there in the administration? Maybe 100? I mean, truly senior officials. Maybe 50? I don't know the answer to the question. But you'd think in 105 days you'd be able to get to it. But, of course, George W. doesn't think so. As he said,
how many sources have you had that's leaked information that you've exposed or have been exposed? Probably none. I mean, this town is a town full of people who like to leak information.
In other words, it's just no big deal. So they outed a CIA agent. So what? So other people have gone to prison for life for that kind of behavior. So some people have faced firing squads back in the 1700s and 1800s for such behavior. It doesn't matter. I mean, after all, it's a big administration.
And I don't know.
If
we're going to find out the senior administration official.
Right. I don't know if we're going to find this guy. There's a lot of senior administration officials, after all.
Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Right. He doesn't have any idea. In more ways than one, Mr. Bush. Anyhow, Thomas Keene, the head of the 9/11 Commission, is furious, totally outraged that the Bush administration is withholding from them the documents that they were created to investigate, to look into. I mean, this commission was created to be looking into these documents. And Keene says, quote, any document that has to do with this investigation cannot be beyond our reach. When George Bush signed the legislation establishing the commission, he said, quote, The investigation should carefully examine all the evidence and follow all the facts wherever they lead, end quote. But several members of the 9/11 Commission, both Democrats and Republicans, have expressed concern over the level of cooperation they are receiving from several executive branch agencies. In other words, they're being stonewalled. Now, when was the last time stonewalling happened? No, it wasn't during the Clinton administration. They were very forthcoming. I mean, they didn't have much choice. Ken Starr was $70 million to investigate Bill Clinton's sex life and whether he lost $30,000 18 years ago in the Whitewater business deal down in Arkansas. Come on. I mean, they're not... That's like looking into Bush's stock sales. Nobody's doing that either. Anyhow, the commission issued its first subpoena last week. They're finally getting their act together. They're finally starting to get kind of tough on this stuff. They issued their first subpoena last week to the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, 5 months after the commission initially requested documents relating to all tracking of the hijacked airliners on 9/11. The FAA has been stalling. Could it be because there were planes in the air after 9/11 taking the Bin Laden family all around the country and back to Boston and then over to England or France or wherever it was? Could it be that that might reflect poorly on the Bush administration? What's the deal? Why is the FAA stonewalling? Commission staff learned in subsequent interviews of additional information that had not been provided after being told that the document production was complete. According to Keene, more subpoenas may be necessary. These guys are starting to get tough. Larry Klayman, the chairman of the conservative watchdog group Judicial Watch, and soon to be a candidate for office somewhere here, I think down in Florida, he said, and this is the guy who also sued Dick Cheney as well as Bill Clinton. He said, and I quote, this administration is the most secretive of our lifetime, even more secretive than the Nixon administration. They don't believe the American people or Congress have any right to information, end quote. What an interesting scenario. My take on this is that this administration does not want, absolutely is terrified of, in fact, very worried about the possibility of any kind of report coming out that might be critical of it prior to the 2004 elections. So they're stonewalling. I frankly doubt that they're covering up crimes, although it's possible. I think mostly they're covering up stuff that, you know, gee, they behave stupidly. They ignored the warnings that the Clinton administration gave them. They went off on this crazed war against terror rather than enlisting the entire world. I mean, we had the whole world on our side after 9/11. The Le Monde, the main French newspaper, it's the big headlines, 72-point type across the front page in French. It said, we are all Americans now. Even in Baghdad, Saddam Hussein had a march, a candlelight march, commemorating the victims of 9/11. I mean, all over the world, we had people on our side. And had we reached out to them, and had we said, yes, let's work together as a world together to bring this to some conclusion, to seek out these criminals, and not put them up on a pedestal as if they were an independent nation and say that we are going to war with them, but call them what they are, criminals. And get Interpol involved. And get the police agencies of all the nations around the world involved and say, you know, this is how we're going to deal with these criminals. We would have seen such a different outcome. This administration has blown it so badly. We have gone from the whole world loving us and empathizing with us to the majority of the world either being afraid of us or openly disliking us. What a tragedy. And this is an absolute disaster. An absolute disaster, the way that the Bush administration has declared and conducted their, quote, war on terrorism, end quote. Now we find out from Dick Cheney, well, do we even have any way of measuring whether this thing is working? Could it be that the terrorists are being cranked out faster than we can kill them? Well, of course. When you tell somebody that they're evil, there's no room for negotiation left. Thomas Jefferson, you know, during, in 1776, they didn't tell the British that they were evil. The last sentence of the Declaration of Independence says, we still hold, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me and I don't remember the exact words, but it is to the effect, we still hold the British people in high esteem, and in times of war we will challenge you, but we still consider you our friends. That's coming out of a vision of a world at peace, but the vision of the Bush administration is the vision of Armageddon. The vision of a world in smoking ruins. The vision of a—I mean, it may literally be the vision of the world of Armageddon, given the fundamentalist Christianity that they're promoting. And boy, I hope it's not a self-fulfilling prophecy. I literally pray that they do not bring that about. There is—we live in such perilous times, but it is time for a positive vision of the future, and I believe that at least one of these Democrats is going to be coming out with it, hopefully soon. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for juicy gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
narwhal,
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Zebra.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GL report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, let me close my eyes, spin me around, let me point, Syria! Because they have weapons of mass destruction.
This is so much fun. Spin me around again.
Iran!
Oh, I love this game. Uncle Dick, can I play this game?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Price tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Jim McDermott is the congressman from Washington State. I was out in Seattle visiting a friend of mine, Paul Loeb, who's an author, has written a number of books, writes from time to time for CommonDreams.org. And I was also speaking to a couple of groups. It was right after Unequal Protection came out, and so I was doing book tour at the same time. And Paul said that, Paul told me that Jim McDermott and Scott Ritter were going to be speaking at this church in town, and did I want to go? And I said, sure, you know, let's go hear them. We stood in line for an hour. I mean, the line went down the street, around the corner. It was just incredible. The church was packed. It was one of these huge churches. There were probably well over 1,000 people, maybe even more than 2,000 people in there. And Jim McDermott had just gotten back from Iraq. And he said that what he saw there caused him to think that the Bush administration was not telling the truth. Now, this was before we went, this was before we attacked Iraq. So last Monday, Jim McDermott goes on the House floor and says, now that we know, the president fed us misrepresentations from the floor of the People's House and he used them to pave the path to war. Now that we know the facts, I am asking the House to make a note in the record that these statements were inaccurate. In other words, he's trying to set the record straight that Bush's January 28th State of the Union address was stuffed with known falsehoods. He says specifically the president lied when he said, number one, that the British government learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa. Number two, that our intelligence sources tell us that he has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes suitable for nuclear weapons production. Number three, that intelligence sources we know, for instance, that from intelligence sources we know, for instance, that thousands of Iraqi security personnel are at work hiding documents and materials from the UN inspectors, sanitizing inspection sites and monitoring inspections themselves. And finally, that, quote, evidence from intelligence sources, secret communications, and statements by people now in custody reveal that Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda, end quote. And McDermott says, it's time to get this on the record. This guy didn't just lie to the American people. He lied to Congress as well. He lied to all of us. And then based on those lies, he led us into a war that led to the death of more than 300 of our young men and women. And the maiming and dismemberment and disfiguring of thousands more, not to mention the deaths of tens of thousands in Iraq. Is this an impeachable offense? We'll ask that question in the next hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
You've been been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Democratic presidential candidates attacked President Bush on Iraq at a candidates' debate in Detroit Sunday night, charging that he misled the country before the war and lacks an exit strategy to end it. Bush drew the opening fire on Iraq with the candidates charging that he has mismanaged the war from the beginning. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry said Bush has broken every promise in his handling of the war. Reverend Al Sharpton said the country is playing Bush roulette with the safety of U.S. troops in Iraq. And retired General Wesley Clark accused the president of bait and switch after the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001. Missouri Senator Richard Gephardt said the president has failed and later summed up his feelings for Bush when he said, like father, like son, 4 years and he's done. The U.S. Occupation Authority temporarily abandoned its headquarters after Iraqi insurgents attacked the hotel with a missile barrage that killed an American colonel and wounded 18 people. The bold attack has rattled U.S. confidence that it is winning the aftermath of the war in Iraq. The assault was likely planned over at least the past 2 months as the insurgents put together the improvised rocket launcher and figured out how to wheel it into the park just across the street from the hotel. U.S. officials and officers fled from the al-Rashid, some still in pajamas or shorts, to a nearby convention center. Members of both parties are accusing the White House of stonewalling the investigation of the September 11, 2001 attacks by blocking demands for documents despite threats of a subpoena. The 10-member bipartisan commission has until May 27th to submit a report that will also deal with law enforcement, diplomacy, immigration, commercial aviation, and the flow of assets to terror organizations. Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut said, "If they continue to refuse, I will urge the independent commission to take the administration to court." More IE American Network News. After this,
military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Australia rewrote the World Cup rugby record books Saturday when they thrashed a hopelessly outclassed Namibia by a score of 142-0. The score easily passed Australia's previous World Cup best, last week's 90-8 demolition of Romania, and their all-time best, a 92-10 win over Spain 10 years ago. Namibia, who lost their opening games 67-14 to Argentina and 64-7 to Ireland, barely made a tackle and never once threatened to score. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Oh, huh?
on this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone? Instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing. Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, froodle-doodle, cry the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, and believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. And in this hour, I want to get into the question, are we giving tax cuts for the rich priority over our soldiers and veterans? And for that matter, was John Dean right back in June? And I think this is still germane, even though this was a four-month-old column, is lying about the reason for a war an impeachable offense, particularly when his own words indicate that it was a lie. Here's George Bush.
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
No evidence.
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
No. 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 None. Sorry. Nope. No evidence. President of the United States saying that we have no evidence whatsoever.
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Fox News should be required to play that at least once a day for all of the poor viewers who have been carefully listening to there are many commentators who have been spinning and spinning and desperately spinning this stuff to cause people to think that Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11, when in fact he didn't. Anyhow, his lying about the reason for a war, an impeachable offense. President George Bush has got a very serious problem, says John W. Dean, former White House counsel in the Nixon administration, the man who told Richard Nixon that the lies about Watergate were a cancer on the presidency. John Dean says, before asking Congress for a joint resolution authorizing the use of U.S. military forces in Iraq, he made a number of unequivocal statements about the reason the United States needed to pursue the most radical action any nation can undertake, acts of war against another nation. Now it is clear, John Dean says, that many of his statements appear to be false. And is he going to be held to account for this? You know, for example, after all, no weapons, John Dean writes, after all, no weapons of mass destruction have been found, and given Bush's statement, they should not have been very hard to find, for they existed in large quantities. Thousands of tons, is what Bush said, of chemical weapons alone. Moreover, according to the statements, telltale facilities, groups of scientists who could testify, and production equipment also existed. So where is all that? And how can we reconcile the White House's unequivocal statements with the fact that they may not exist? Here, John Dean says, are two main possibilities. One, that something is seriously wrong within the Bush White House national security operations. I would say so, and what's seriously wrong within the Bush White House national security operations is that they have been selectively filtering intelligence. This is one of the big complaints that has been coming out of the intelligence community since day one on this thing, is that these guys say, give me the raw intelligence and let us filter it. Let us decide what's credible and what's not. And the guys at the CIA say, but wait a minute. You know, that Ahmed Chalabi and his good buddies, they've got a hidden agenda. He wants to take over the country. He wants to be the one who owns $20 trillion worth of oil under the ground. He wants to be the one who lives in Saddam's palaces next. He wants to be the one who's in charge. He's got many, many, many good reasons to portray the situation in a way that might not be exactly consistent with the truth. The intelligence community was very concerned about these defectors and informants that the Bush administration kept trotting out. And yet those are the people who are over there in Iraq now, and they're in charge. They're the ones the administration believed, or the ones whose words they were willing to put forward, even if they had doubts about them. And I personally can't imagine that they didn't have doubts, given all the warnings that they had from their intelligence services. So that's one of the possibilities John Dean suggests. He says that one seems difficult to believe. The other is that the president has deliberately misled the nation and the world. According to Time magazine, John Dean writes, the Marine general in charge of the Iraq thing explained that, quote, we've been to virtually every ammunition supply point between the Kuwaiti border and Baghdad, and remarked flatly, they're simply, they being the weapons of mass destruction, not there. The absence of any explanation, John Dean writes, for the gap between the statements and reality only increases the sense that the president's misstatements may actually have been intentional lies. Now, how does a nation respond when it turns out that their president has intentionally lied? And as a result of his lies, people have died. I mean, Clinton lied, nobody died. We can broadly agree on that. Yeah, I know there's a few nutcases out there who persist in talking about Vince Foster, but give it a rest, guys. Clinton lied, nobody died. Today is day 260 in the search for weapons of mass destruction, and David Kaye basically came out and said, there's nothing there. Referring to Paul Krugman's drawing a parallel between this situation in Iraq and the situation with Watergate. John Dean says, in the three decades since Watergate, this is the first potential scandal that I have seen that could make Watergate pale by comparison. If the Bush administration intentionally manipulated or misrepresented intelligence to get Congress to authorize and the public to support military action to take control of Iraq, then that would be a monstrous deed. A monstrous misdeed. To put it bluntly, John Dean wraps up, if Bush has taken Congress and the nation into war based on bogus information, he is cooked. Now, see, here's where I think he is. But I don't think it's going to happen until after the elections. I think he's going to be able to stonewall that 9/11 commission. He's going to be able to prevent any investigations. It's going to play out, in my opinion, the same way Watergate did with Nixon. Anyhow, Dean wraps it up. He says, manipulation or deliberate misuse of national security intelligence data, if proven, could be a, quote, high crime, end quote, under the Constitution's impeachment clause. It would also be a violation of federal criminal law, including the broad federal anti-conspiracy statute, which renders it a felony, quote, to defraud the United States or any agency thereof in any manner or for any purpose, end quote. And Dean says, finally, it's important to recall that when Richard Nixon resigned, he was about to be impeached by the House of Representatives for misusing the CIA and the FBI. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number, and Billy in Santa Cruz, California is on the line. Hey, Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. Tom, you know, everything you said sounds pretty much right. This thing about, of course, stalling until after the election, classic. And you know that's what they're up to.
Sure.
But you know what? It all doesn't matter.
Because?
Because there's something infinitely more important going on here, and that is, as that general... made very clear, God wants George Bush in the presidency. God put him there, wants him to stay there. How would you dare to suggest we vote against what God wants?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I'm not making this up, am I, Tom?
Oh, no, you're not. And I'm telling you, Pat Robertson and his minions across the United States and Jerry Falwell and the millions of people who watch his television program and go to the churches that he influences and are on his mailing list are right there with General Boykin.
Well, the point is to realize that what went wrong with their plan was that we found out about it, that there was a camera on Boykin that he didn't know about. This is going on in churches everywhere in America. They are stealing another election by going to the stupidest, most superstitious among us and convincing them of something that's obviously not true, but that I keep hearing over and over again, that God put him in there. He says it, and other people are saying it about him. This is, to me, the best reason I know of for us all to start treating our religious friends with the disdain they deserve for being behind this and not yelling and shouting to the top of the rooftops what's going on in the churches.
You really think that treating people who go to church or synagogue with disdain is going to change anything, Billy?
Well, let me suggest something to you. We tried it your way, which is respect. And that hasn't worked. These people are vicious and after us all. So, you know what? If you want a different result and you don't want to be insane, you try something new.
Do you think that disdain and respect are the only two options?
I'm not bright enough to know another option. I must admit that when I'm confronted with what I'm hearing from the religious right, I can't come up with any emotion other than utter disdain. I feel like, you know, what they say I am, which is an elite, because I'm just so much smarter than they are, so much nicer than they are, and so much more right for my country than they are. The right is wrong for America.
So how do you convince them of that?
Well, for me, it's just to constantly remind them that, if you really believe that God put Bush there, I'm not interested in anything you have to say. You know, it reminds me of people.
Well, then,
who
Billy, they just go their merry way. I mean, if you want these people to change their mind, If you want them to vote for a Democrat, for example, or if you want them to realize and see the lies behind what, you know, the Bush administration is doing, or see the reality of this orchestrated campaign to reach out into the churches of America, or at least the most conservative of the churches in America, and try to spread disinformation, misinformation, and outright lies, you're not going to do it. Your strategy, what the strategy that you're suggesting is the exact same strategy that George Bush is pursuing in his war on terrorism. And all it does is it makes more of them. It causes them to look at you and go, whoa, that guy's nuts.
Yeah, you know, well, you're certainly right about that. I am nuts. But the fact is that I'm not going to ever reach these people who are all the way there. I want to, in mocking the religious, I'm hoping the people in the middle are going to see it and resent the fact that this religion is pushing this president on us in the most foul way.
I don't think it's going to work, Billy, because when people hear mockery and disdain, they turn off.
You're probably right. But, you know, there's so many people. Let's put it this way. Mockery and disdain won the last election for the Republicans.
No,
so on radio, that's all the liberals get from radio. From the Savages, the Limbaughs, you know those.
They go way beyond mockery and disdain, Billy. They go to lies. I mean, they go to misinformation, and it was hundreds of millions of dollars that Bush didn't win the last election. Billy, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I am a popcorn enthusiast. Popcorn, the most provocative of all the snack foods. The silky smooth texture, the rich buttery ecstasy.
Ow! The unpopped kernels!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say, Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
Stephens Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
You can look to the stars in search of the answers. Look for God and life on distant planets. Have your faith in the ever after. For each of us holds inside the map to the labyrinth. Heaven's here on earth.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Search in Iraq fails to find nuclear threat. This in yesterday's Washington Post. An article by Barton Gellman says, among the closely held internal judgments of the Iraq Survey Group, overseen by David Kaye, a special representative of CIA Director George J. Tenet, are that Iraq's nuclear weapons scientists did no significant arms-related work after 1991. That facilities with suspicious new construction proved benign, and that equivalent of potential equipment of potential use to a nuclear program remained under seal. That was the United Nations seal, you'll recall, or in civilian industrial use. There ain't no nuclear threat in Iraq. There never was. There hasn't been since 1991. Amazing. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Doug in Santa Fe has a comment. Doug, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. Billy, start meditating, Billy. That's a little too aggro, and I think that's the main reason why the Christian right is getting away with what they're doing, is because we're fighting them with fire. You can't cool things down. I think we should lean more towards the teachings of Jesus and accepting everybody for their differences, and slowly bring them to a different level of consciousness instead of trying to force the liberal agenda or the progressive agenda down everybody's throat that is not educated even on the Republican agenda.
Yeah, in our chat room, SmileMaker909 says, in the worst counter-protest ever in Princeton, we decided to start singing rather than yelling back at the pro-war people. There were kids with them yelling bad things at us. They came back alone the next time and wound up some really good civilized conversations with us. We told them the facts. They allowed them to actually have a rational conversation. I think that whenever we diminish the humanity in other people, We eliminate the possibility of changing their mind, and on some level we reduce our own humanity as well. Whenever we objectify another person.
Hey, throw something out at you. I've come up with this saying. I want to see if anybody believes it's true. In the absence of conflicting thought, there is no conscience. Have a good day, Tom.
Yeah. Hey, Doug. Hang on just a second. What does that mean?
Well, I'll use the President of the United States as an example. He has said himself that he does not read the news. He doesn't participate in any briefings other than ones that he gets from his senior advisors. Now, if they're all after the same thing, then he's not getting any conflicting information, therefore no conflicting thought, therefore no conscience. Your conscience kind of kicks up when you encounter something that is contrary to your belief, and you have to weigh it. You have to look at these issues. You have to say to yourself, maybe the way I've been doing things is totally wrong.
In other words, conscience requires multiple perspectives.
Exactly.
Yeah. The ability to empathize, the ability to understand the other person's point of view. See, this is one of the things.
We don't do that.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I see so lacking, both on the extremes of the left and the right, is that there is no attempt to understand what are the values held by the people on the other side? When I had that guy from the Heritage Foundation on the other day, I started right out by saying, what's your vision of America? What kind of a country do you want to see? And, you know, unfortunately...
I listened to that show, and he phrased it quite well. It's just we have two different ways of going at it. One is a forceful way, and the other is an embracing way. I think we need, as a nation of conflicting people, need to come together in an embracing fashion instead of trying to rub each other's face out.
Yeah. But then there's people who say, oh, come on, you know, it didn't work with Hitler.
But it worked with Jesus.
Yeah. And it worked for Gandhi. And it worked for Martin Luther King.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, Doug. I appreciate the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're going to be right back with a survey from the Army Times you'll find very interesting. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Restoring natural areas requires a combination of sound science and honest labor. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Naturalists have become more actively involved in the landscapes they study. Restoration ecology has changed the way some scientists go about their business. They aren't just observers, they actively participate in restoring the original conditions of natural areas. William Jordan III coined the term restoration ecology years ago, and he's written a new book about it called The Sunflower Forest.
This business of attempting to restore altered ecosystems, such as prairie here in the Midwest or wetland, has turned out to be a very powerful way of studying them, of raising questions about their ecology and testing ideas about their ecology.
Jordan says restorationists play a number of roles. They're hunter-gatherers collecting native plants and animals to reintroduce to an area. They're farmers working to influence the plants that grow on a piece of land. And they're scientists recording their methods and results. Jordan says restoration has proven to be a valuable tool for education and research. He says ecologists have learned things they might not have found through simple observation. For example, they came to understand the importance of fire while attempting to restore prairies. Jordan says restoration often requires actions that he calls a studied disregard for human interests.
You put back the rattlesnakes, the poison ivy, fire is the great example. You put back these things which you may find inconvenient or even destructive. And this is all part of a kind of tribute to nature.
Jordan says the goal of restoration is to return the landscape to its historical condition, which in North America usually means what it was like prior to European settlement. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
People get mad. There's a train of calling.
back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and we have on the line Rosa in Deutschland. Rosa, wie geht es Ihnen?
Quiet. Hello? I'm on the air.
Yeah?
I'm on the air.
You are on the air.
No, that's not Rosa. That's Rodent. Rodent from Germany.
Rodent. Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you what a great show you're making. And, you know, there was a question I wanted to ask you. What is more important for a change in the direction of the country? A, a person, or B, maybe even a subtle, but a change in the system, or the political system, that is.
What was your A again?
A person.
A person,
yes, like a guy or a woman or whatever, a political figure.
Yeah, yeah. You want to share your thoughts on that?
I
think it's both, frankly.
I think my personal thoughts are, well, I don't know. I mean, a change in the direction of the system is probably more effective over the time.
Yeah.
In many things.
Yeah, ich bin einverstanden. I'm wondering, Roden, if you think that the... Well, first of all, where in Germany are you?
Berlin.
Oh, in Berlin, a beautiful city. I have some good friends who live there.
I'm wondering...
I lived in Germany for a year back in the mid-'80s. I'm wondering what the German people are thinking about the United States and about George Bush these days. What, just in the normal newspapers, not the folks who are the Greens, but, you know, just the average German people. How are we being treated in the German media and press?
In many cases... I just looked up the Spiegel today, and
Der Spiegel is like our
article.
Time magazine.
That's a German newspaper or news magazine, something like the Times.
Yeah.
And the Spiegel had a nice article about the Galileo system, system that's something like a GPS system, but it's only a German European system. And there was this feeling of beginning of competition between America and Europe that's going up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And also the general feelings about Bush and we are all feeling a little bit weird about him.
What does weird mean?
Uneasy, maybe.
Uneasy.
Nobody really understands why he went to Iraq. Then again, of course, there was trying to make it clear that there were weapons of mass destruction. And, well... You feel uneasy about the course that the U.S. is taking right now.
Yeah. Well, your nation has been led down a primrose path before. You had a fellow who rose to power in the 1930s after a terrorist act by Marius von der Lubbe and the Reichstaggebirge. And then you had, within a few months after that, he passed the enabling laws similar to our USA Patriot Act. And the parallels in some regards are rather striking. Is there a discussion of that going on in the German mainstream media?
No, that's not. I think people over here believe too much in the democracy over in America. And I also don't see those parallels that deep. I mean, it's always a possibility something like a coup d'etat or something like that could happen.
Yeah.
But there's also a need for, a certain time of mounting pressures from all sides of all kinds of directions. And as long as this hasn't happened, and I don't think that really happened in America, it's really difficult, I think, to launch a successful coup d'etat or a cold revolution from the top.
Yeah. So you think American democracy is more resilient than German democracy was in the 20s and 30s?
Most certainly. Yeah. I don't think that that America is going to be something like a fascist regime or something like that, as long as there are some kind of like shows like yours or presidential candidates like Howard Dean and so on. I mean, yeah. There's also always a counterforce when there's mm-hmm. a radical force. And yeah. as long as the counterforce is that strong in America, I have faith that this country will come back around, if you want to say so.
Well, I have to admit that my faith in the American system has been greatly strengthened by the way that some of the Democratic candidates have been speaking. The mainstream media in the United States, though, doesn't broadly speak about the things that I'm speaking of. Although this show is growing and we're gaining stations, it seems every week. We're still small compared to the very large right wing media that control the United States. I'm curious how you found out about the program.
Oh well, that's something like I found about this Robert McChesney. You probably heard about him.
Yes, I know.
And I heard from him something about the state the media is over in America in a quite weird way.
Mm-hmm.
And radical, or rather, it's not the way it's in Germany. Let's put it that way. And then I thought about, look into the internet, look a little bit further, search some things up, and I found out that there's also a little bit of liberal media over there in America. And when all those things about Bush started to heat up, I started to listen more and more to the liberal medias, and found that my hope that there is a counterforce in America's media rising.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, Roden, for calling. I really appreciate the call. We are finding now that over 90 people from over 90 countries are listening to the web stream, in addition to people all across the United States.
Yeah, that's great.
Very kind of you to call. Thank you very much.
Well, I thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime anybody calls from outside the United States, it's always a treat. And we've had several. We've had several calls from Australia, from Scotland, from the UK, and so on. So thank you.
Okay.
Talk to you later. Here now we have from the Army Times. This is the newspaper of the United States Army. The Army Times. They did a survey, and this I think is very revealing. I mean, very revealing. And because here are the guys, men and women. I use guys in the context. When I grew up in Michigan, and I think in Michigan it still is a gender neutral term. You guys, you know, which means men and women. But anyway, these are the people over in Iraq who are confronting the reality of the situation and know well that there have been no weapons of mass destruction found. All the weapons that have been found are the weapons that can be used to kill our GIs and are being, on a daily basis, used to kill our GIs. Now we see over the last few weeks, you know, particularly since Bush said, bring them on, now we're up to typically 35 attacks on Americans every single day. That's more than one an hour. A few weeks ago, it was averaging around 21, just a little less than one an hour. So anyhow, they ask these folks... is armytimes.com. Now, I don't see the methodology here on this, so I don't know, frankly, if this questionnaire was of everybody in the Army or just the people who are on active duty in the Middle East. So, I don't know. But this was published in Army Times, and they asked, if you were going to vote for president right now, which candidate would you support? And only 21.55%, fewer than a quarter, just a little more than a fifth of the people said that they would vote for President George W. Bush. He was beat, now this is really interesting, George Bush was beat in this poll in Army Times by Senator John Edwards with 25.73% of the vote, and as you might expect, by General Wesley Clark with 31.11% of the vote. But between Wesley Clark and John Edwards, they had more than half the vote, more than half the total vote. The next one who came in the vote was John Kerry with 11.17, a little more than half of what George Bush got. And then below that, Howard Dean at 7.24% and Dick Gephardt at 1.21%. Everybody else was below 1%. But I found that just fascinating, that the Army Times survey shows that fewer than, just right in the neighborhood of one-fifth of the people in the Army would vote for George W. Bush, when you consider that it was, some suggest, that it was the absentee ballots from overseas, from the military, that came in late. They were illegal ballots, but they got counted and put into the count. And there was several hundred of them, close to 1,000, as I recall, and the vast majority of them were for George Bush. And there are some folks who say, okay, well, that was the thing. I mean, including the factor that Catherine Harris, you know, helped steal the election by disenfranchising 70, 80, 90,000 mostly minority voters and so on. But, you know, you get right down to the numbers, and that it might have been the military that made the difference in Florida. And they're not going to vote for George Bush again. They asked the question, do you think the Army is taking adequate steps to protect convoys in Iraq? 63% said no. Only 21% said yes. They had 15% who said, I don't know. They asked, should the greater workload placed upon reservists and National Guard members warrant an overhaul of their pay and benefits package? Now, keep in mind, this administration, the Bush administration, has been working to either freeze or cut back pay and benefits to our soldiers and or our people who have served in the military. Spooky when a word vanishes. Should the greater workload placed upon reservists and National Guard members warrant an overhaul of their pay and benefit package? 75.68% said yes. Should the U.S. send more troops into Iraq? Or would the peace process there be better served if other countries would commit peacekeeping forces? Send more U.S. troops? 14%. Get other countries' troops to help? 74%. Fascinating results from the Army Times. Statistics tell one story. The long, hard slog playing out in Iraq, according to Charles J. Hanley in The Guardian of London. Statistics tell one story. In recent weeks, the daily average of attacks on U.S. forces has stepped up from 25 or 26, and even to 35 on one day, from around 20. The U.S.-led occupation army forces harassing attacks from a shadowy array of Iraqi and possibly foreign foes. Diehard Sunni Muslim loyalists of the toppled Ba'athist government. Frankly, I think that these, you know, the hangers-on, as Don Rumsfeld calls them, I think that they are an insignificant. These guys have no hope that Saddam is going to come back or that their form of government is going to be revived. Instead, and they say other Iraqi nationalists who want the Americans out, and terror bombers who may be driven by an Islamic fanaticism. And if you look at the history of occupations in other lands and how it's worked out when countries occupy other countries, generally speaking, the people who are being occupied are not really pleased about it. And then on top of that, this is such an important point. This was the key, the absolute key that was expressed in the debates last night. And I frankly don't remember who said it. It might have been Kucinich, it might have been Sharpton. I believe it was one or the other of them. Basically said, all we have to do is say to the UN, okay, we will relinquish control over the oil, and we will stop handing Iraqi corporations over to American businesses. In other words, stop the pillaging and plundering. And if we did those simple steps, the whole world would leap in to help out. And I really and truly believe that's true. Because the world is looking at us and they're going, okay, these guys are going to keep control of the oil. They're bringing in American oil companies. They got Halliburton in there already. They're bringing in American construction companies to do the reconstruction. And it's very, very profitable for these companies that are so well connected to this administration. And then they want us to give money to this thing? They want us to pony up to be part of it? I don't think so, they're saying. You know, this just doesn't sound reasonable. It doesn't sound like the right thing to do. And so we got real generous the other day. I don't know if you noticed, about 4 days ago, 5 days ago in the press, or maybe it was just before the UN vote, we said we would allow some of the reconstruction funds, mostly through the now reinvented Oil for Food program, to be administered by a UN agency. In other words, we'll throw you a bone. We'll let you take care of a few dollars here and there. But we're not going to let you be in charge of deciding who gets to buy the 159 state-owned industries that are being sold at fire sale prices to mostly American corporations that once Iraq starts pumping its oil are going to be gold mines. And we're not going to, I mean, this is like getting in on the ground floor of Saudi Arabia, as several American oil companies did back in the 40s and 50s. And we're not going to allow you to have any say in or control over the oil. We're going to keep that in the hands of our provisional authority and our puppet government. Thank you very much. If we just gave those things up, the rest of the world would be right there with us. I don't know why the mainstream media doesn't talk about this. Anyhow, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Cats behave badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful.
Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. New information may bolster questions on Halliburton. This is in last week's New York Times. Interesting quote. The head of an Iraqi oil and agency said yesterday that his group, this isn't an Iraqi oil company saying, we could do this. Let me give you a little background. Halliburton got this contract. See, oil, gasoline in Iraq typically sells for 5 or 10 cents a gallon because they make it themselves and it's out of their own oil, and they got the cheapest oil in the world because it bubbles out of the ground. You don't even have to pump it. Because the wells are all relatively untapped. Over in Saudi Arabia, their oil wells have gotten down to the point where they're actually having to start suck the stuff out of the ground. So it costs $5, $10, you know, between $5 and $10 a barrel to get it. Here in the United States, our wells are well below halfway point, and that happened in the '70s. And it costs as much as $15 a barrel to get much of the American oil, other than that stuff up in Alaska that everybody's drooling over. That'll cost $1.50 a barrel to extract, although there will be some transportation expenses associated with getting it down here. But in any case, in Iraq, typically gasoline costs 5 to 10 cents a gallon at the gas tank. So everybody drives, gas is cheap. They didn't want to create a revolt by jacking up the price of gas to the world standard. So Halliburton gets this contract to supply gas to the gas stations. The gas stations sell it for 5 or 10 cents a gallon. Halliburton charges the gas stations their 5 cents or 2.5 cents or whatever it was that the gas stations were charged before by the state-owned oil company. So the gas stations can still make a profit. And then Halliburton charges us, you and me, the American taxpayer, the difference between the cost to get that gas to that gas station and what they were able to sell it for to the gas stations. They're able to sell it for 2.5 cents a gallon to the gas station in Iraq, and they say it cost them $1.59 a gallon to get it there. So they make $1.56.5 a gallon, and then on top of that, because it's a cost-plus contract, they say that's their cost, they get to automatically add a profit. Because that's the nature of these contracts that Halliburton has gotten. They're all, nearly all of them are cost-plus contracts, meaning that no matter what it costs to do the job, they get to raise the price. Well, here now we have the head of an Iraqi oil agency saying yesterday that his group has been trucking in gasoline for considerably less money than Halliburton. Turns out Halliburton is not only screwing the Iraqis, they're going after us too. And the Iraqis themselves are talking about it. Time for a change in America, folks. Be sure you're registered to vote. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. I'll be broadcasting live tomorrow from Washington, D.C., the Center for American Progress. Tune in then. Thanks for joining us today. Joe McPherson produced our program in Atlanta, Louise Hartman here in Vermont, and Steve Damschroeder has been running the board in Detroit. We'll see you tomorrow. A war against
disorder from sirens night and day from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about.